St. Patrick's Day is just around the corner, and if you're looking to add a little green to your weekend, you might stop by the Kansas City Irish Center to hear comedian Cullum O'Regan. O'Regan achieved Twitter fame with his account @IrishMammies, which turned into a successful book series. He's in KC from his native Ireland, and he stopped into KCUR studios to chat with associate producer Lisa Rodriguez.
Welcome, Cullum.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here in Kansas City.
Is it? So this is your first time to Kansas City, is that right?
Well, I realized that about in 1999, I was going around the United States by train. I was here on a student visa. So at the end of my time here, I went from New York, I did a clockwise loop around the United States by Amtrak. And I think I passed through Kansas City on my way to Chicago. I think I may have spent an hour here sitting on a train looking at the railway station, maybe. So, but this is my first time setting foot on the actual soil of Kansas City.
All right, well, we won't count that as your first impression. So do you have any first impressions of Kansas City this time around?
Well, my very first impression is it appears spring is here. And so the weather is beautiful. And it's actually the landscape's more undulating than I expected. I expected it to be dead flat. So it's real rolling prairie. It's really, I like it, actually. Yeah, I'm still trying to find my bearings as to which state I'm in at any particular time, and so as not to insult whatever local I'm talking to by mentioning that I'm in the wrong state. So,
oh, and people get sensitive about that.
Yeah, no wonder it made it into the Wizard of Oz. She wasn't sure whether she was in Kansas State or Missouri.
So on Wednesday, you gave a talk at the Kansas City Public Library about your series of books, Irish Mammies. I've heard you describe it as kind of a happy accident, how it all began. But can you tell us a little bit more about Irish Mammies, how it started,
sure,
and what it is today?
Well, first of all, the word mammy in Ireland is an affectionate term for mother. So we'd say mama, mammy, just like mom and mummy here as well. And what happened was I was doing a little web sketch, and I wanted to make it look like a typical Irish mother of maybe 60-something years had a Twitter account. Because this was back in 2011 when Twitter wasn't as ever-present as it is now. And I started writing some things that an Irish mother might say, and then it swiftly became far more popular than me as a real person on Twitter. So as I started to write these things, and these were incredibly ordinary things, just slices of life, you know, will you have your ice cream in a bowl or with a wafer, or, you know, haven't you enough going out now for 1 week? And people just started responding to it, chipping in with their own things that their mother said to them, or text messages their mother would say and send them. And so it became like a compendium of a particular way of speaking, and I decided I might make a good book, and publishers were interested. So it's just been a fun way to write about Ireland through the eyes or the prism of an Irish mother. So mm-hmm. It's been really enjoyable.
What have you learned, you know, through your interactions about American culture? Have you ever met an American mom, and how would she be different from an Irish mammy?
Yeah, I have lots of cousins in America. Like, I think I worked out that I have 52 second cousins in the tri-state area in New York, like on the East Coast. I have cousins in Butte, Montana, and I have some cousins on the West Coast. I don't actually have any yet that I know of in Kansas, but if there's any Irish American moms in listening in, it mightn't take them long to work out whether I am related to them or not. That's an Irish mother speciality, and I think an Irish American mother speciality as well. Although my mother has relinquished a lot of the responsibility for me to my wife now, and she's not quite as hands-on as she used to be.
We're just a few days away from St. Patrick's Day, which in my personal experience is just an excuse to drink a lot of Guinness and Irish whiskey. And, you know, in Kansas City, in my opinion, takes that part of it pretty seriously. But how does that compare to celebration where you grew up?
Well, first of all, it was really chuffed to see, as I was going through Kansas City, see the Irish flags up. But actually, even though I'm only here on holiday, I'm not a lonesome emigrant who's never going to see my own country again. But even still, going through an American city and seeing against a very American backdrop, to see the Irish flags flying high is not emotional, but it does strike a chord. So I can really see that this is a place that does its St. Patrick's Day quite seriously. And I think it's one of the biggest parades outside of Ireland in the world. So on the contrast to that, I come from a small village called Dripsy, and we in the year 2000 went into the Guinness Book of Records for having the shortest St. Patrick's Day parade in the world. Yards long. It went from one pub to another across the crossroads. And then the following year, it went in the opposite direction, just to change it up. But unfortunately, one of the pubs, due to the recession, one of the pubs closed. So the parade, as it was constituted at the time, had to end because it wouldn't have had any end point. So it would have gone on for infinity. But it's a small village that, and I guess, like a lot of small places, very proud of its identity. And so it still has that plaque as being the shortest ever.
Well, what about in a major city like Dublin, which is where you live currently?
Yeah, that's right. It's a big deal. There'll be a number of 100,000 people lining the route. There'll be lots of majorettes over from America. There'll be lots of American visitors. So for a very Irish occasion, it's quite a multicultural one as well. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a national holiday. The country closes down and you can be cynical about national identity, but actually, if you've any kind of sense of self, you'll enjoy it. You know, I do, but it gets a bit hairy around 5 o'clock when all the parade's over and then it's just the drinking. So
right.
That's when you kind of might need to get out of Dodge.
Yeah. So then I'm guessing, and this is just a guess, that our idea of an Irish pub in the United States has little in common with an actual Irish pub. Can you highlight some of the differences where we're going wrong or right?
Well, I think some of the pubs here actually have the best of both. I was in a bar last night. One of the things I love about the American bar is the bar life, in that you sit at the bar. In Ireland, you order at the bar, and you don't necessarily, you wouldn't have as many, not in every pub, that you can sit at the bar and that the conversations will go along the bar, particularly for men, because men talk much better when we're not facing each other. So we talk when we can just kind of stare at a television or stare at the choice of beers. It's what's that saying about women talk face to face, men talk shoulder to shoulder. So the American bar suits Irish males. I think that's why that's why there's so many Irish people working in the bar industry, because we started by going there, and so that's why I liked it. Yeah, and a great selection. I had the local wheat beer.
The Boulevard.
It? Yes, yeah, really nice. I'm giving all sorts of plugs here. We should both be making money off this last 5 minutes. But so it was a nice introduction to Kansas City. I had a very nice night. But I think the big thing. The Irish pub, what sets it apart for me, it's not the ersatz vintage whiskey jugs up on a shelf or the old bicycles hanging from the roof. It's lighting and it's comfort and noise. And so there wouldn't be as many TVs in most Irish pubs. They're not sports bars. There are sports bars, but typically they're kind of about the conversation. The seating is comfortable. And it's the lighting. The lighting is always nicely dark, because the best thing about an Irish pub is that kind of anonymity of sitting. You know, I think you can be more open in how you talk about yourself if you're not in a bright light. So I think what Irish pubs have patented is lighting and atmosphere and comfortable. But that does not mean you have to have high diddly eye music playing or spending thousands of dollars buying old stuff to put on the wall. It's about the lighting. It has to be dark, comfortable, and not too loud. That would be mine. Mm-hmm. I sound like an old man now.
Right.
This whole place is just noise, you know. No. So that's for me.
It's about the
lighting's a huge part of it.
Well, very good. So is there one Irish stereotype that Americans have that you wish you could squash right now?
Yeah, I wish I could say that it's the drinking, but unfortunately we keep living up to it. I think that it's probably we don't drink as much as other people think we do. So I'd say if you looked at the stats, we're up there, but we're not at the top.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'd find ourselves closer to the top than we would imagine.
That's right.
As well.
Yeah. But I think you turn up on time, which makes it look like you're more reliable. So we have a reputation as drinkers, and we're always 10 minutes late, which compounds the stereotype.
Well, have you celebrated St. Patrick's Day in the States before?
No, I haven't. I'm going to be in New York. I'm really sorry that I'm not going to be in KC for it, or KCMO, for just to be in the local lingo, because I know there's going to be a good day out coming up soon. But I'm going to be in New York for it, so I think that's a reasonable substitute for where I should be.
Reasonable.
Yeah. So I hope people won't take offense.
whatever dark pub you may end up in. Yeah. I hope that you have a wonderful St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you.
Dear sir, I write this note to you to tell you of me plight. And at the time of writing, I am not a pretty sight. Me body is all black and blue, me face deathly grey. And I write this note to say why Paddy's not at work today.